Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for my sister. She will be on very shortly. Catherine Hulu. She's the executive director of Sales Right Now. Amen. Amen. I know this what you call it, still spinning. She'll be on in just a few minutes. Bear with me. She'll be on. Amen. Amen. Lord, I declare and decree that she shall be on tonight. Amen.
Hello, this is Kristen. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Kristen?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, tonight, as I promised, I would have you on this Blog Talk Radio tonight. And so I have a few people that's coming on right now, but I told them that our guest is Kristen Hulu. She's a Texas Coalition to Abolish Death Sentences in the State of Texas. And I got it on Facebook. Can we talk? You're now in charge. Go ahead. God bless you.
Great. So, are you going to ask me questions, or how does this work?
Well, I'm gonna ask you a few questions. Well, number one, tell us how you got involved in what you're doing.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for having me on tonight. You know, I've been working against the death penalty for over 20 years now. I actually got involved when I was a college student at the University of Kentucky, and I was really interested always in civil rights and human rights issues. And, you know, initially my interest was looking beyond our own country and looking at human rights practices in places like Nigeria and Kenya and China and what was going on in those countries at the time. But I was involved with an organization called Amnesty International, and Amnesty had a position against the death penalty, and I became educated on the terrible flaws and failures of the death penalty system through that organization, and I learned about cases of people facing execution who were, you know, 16 or 17 years old at the time of the crime, or who had intellectual disabilities, or who had lawyers who fell asleep during their trials. And you know, all of this sort of information really came home to me back in 1997, and that's when my home state of Kentucky was preparing to carry out its first execution in more than 30 years. It was a man by the name of Harold McQueen, and Mr. McQueen had robbed a convenience store and killed a clerk, and he was so high on drugs and alcohol at the time, he barely remembered committing the crime, but he, you know, accepted responsibility for his actions. And during his time on death row, he embraced religion. He made films for young people trying to caution them from going down the same path he did. And, you know, by all accounts, he was truly a reformed man. So I got involved, you know, but all of that didn't matter. The state still wanted to take his life. And so I got involved in the protest against his execution, and I met, you know, people who had been working against the death penalty for a long time. I met family members of death row inmates who knew Harold McQueen and you could tell me, you know, who he was as a man. You know, I met murder victims' family members who had their own reasons for opposing the death penalty. And you just really hit home to me that the death penalty is really the ultimate violation of the right to life. And I don't think our government has the right to take the life of its own citizens. So that's really when it began for me. And I did a lot of volunteer work on the issue and then eventually kind of channeled it into my profession. And I've been in Texas for the last 11 years fighting against the death penalty here.
Go ahead. You're doing good. You're doing good. Well, another, let me see. Brenda, do you have a question you want to ask? Dr. Brenda? Hello? Well, one thing I want to find out. What you're saying makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I've asked the mothers, how much do they really care? I know mothers care. It's a hard, wretching thing that's going on. The other question I want to ask you, now, in Texas, how often do you go down to the prison to see those people? How often do you go down there? Or do you have some way you can talk with them?
So the men who are on death row in Texas are housed at the Polunsky unit in Livingston, and the women are housed in Gatesville. And yeah, we have, I don't go myself, but we have a lot of members throughout the state who correspond with the men and women on death row and, you know, visit them when they can. And, you know, we also have, there's a lot of support on this issue for people outside the United States. You know, the United States is one of the only Western countries that still has the death penalty. It's been abolished throughout the entire continent of Europe and many countries in Africa and in Central or in South America and Canada and Mexico. But there are a lot of individuals in Europe particularly who are very concerned about this issue, and they also have befriended many of the individuals incarcerated on death row, write them letters, and come and visit them sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we also have, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You also have?
I was just going to say, we also have vigils on the days of executions in Texas, and those take place throughout the state, you know, from El Paso to San Antonio, up to Fort Worth and Lubbock. You know, we have people all over the state who can bear that witness when the state of Texas is taking a life.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know when I met you Sunday to talk with you, there's a difference between the federal and the state, right? Courts.
That's right. Yes, sir.
In the state of Texas, how can we come about getting a governor who can help to abolish the death penalty in the state of Texas? What do we need to do?
You know, we all, well, you know, we all need to be using our voice, and there are many ways to use our voice. You know, first and foremost, we need everyone to get out there and vote. You know, early voting starts on Monday, October 22nd, and I think goes until till November 2nd. So we really need folks to be out there voting and, you know, being educated voters and looking at the different races that have an impact on criminal justice issues. So on this issue particularly, we look at the elected district attorney. This is the number one prosecutor in the county, and that person has a lot of power and can affect a lot of people through their decision making. So we got to look at your district attorney races. We also elect our judges, our state district judges, our Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, the Texas Supreme Court. All of these positions are elected by voters. And of course, you know, you mentioned the governor is elected by the voters of Texas. So really just encourage people to look at the different positions that the two candidates, Lupe Valdez on the Democratic side and Greg Abbott, the incumbent on the Republican side, look at the positions that they hold on various issues. And we just really need people to get out to the polls and to, you know, understand that these positions really have an impact on your, can have an impact on your life.
Well, I know. Well, the young man that was released from the prison really impressed me. He brought tears to my eyes, spending 27 years and 11 or 12 years in solitation. But one thing he would understand, he said, he confessed what he did. He said, but how, I asked him, how can we help? He said, do just exactly what you said. Get a voice, go and vote. And I said, okay, I need to do that. So I know I'm reaching across America right now. More in Texas. I've asked the mother to be on, and I got one or two or three on the line. Can I speak to Tracy?
Okay.
I'm going to call your last four numbers of your cell phone. Please answer it. 0200. Are you there? I'll ask another one. 3960. Are you there? Your last four numbers of your cell phone. 3960.
Yes, this is Cynthia. Just a moment.
Okay. Hi, Cynthia.
How you doing? There's a vehicle with the alarm. I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know if you had a particular question or could, did you just want me to comment, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, of course. If you're trying to get let's talk about what we can do, we have to keep going on the death penalty.
Okay. Well, one thing that she said that really touched my heart was that there were people who were in vigil, staying in prayer at the time of the execution. I think that's very important, to stay in prayer and to not leave our brother or sister who's being put to death at that moment. We still have to in some way, as much as we can, be by their side and continue to lift them up as they're going through what they're going through. It's just much like with Jesus when he was on the way, there was the wailing women and there were so many other who still, you know, traveled along. So I think that's one thing that we need to keep in the forefront, to keep praying. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Do you have a comment you want to make to that, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I think it's really important that we as the citizens, you know, again, use our voice and use our presence to show that, you know, knowledge what's happening, because the executions happen in the name of the people of Texas. And I think it's our responsibility to say, you know, not in my name. And I think, you know, what I think is really important about these vigils too, especially the ones that happen within the religious communities, is that, you know, they're praying for everyone involved in these cases. And, you know, and that means the, you know, man or woman who's being put to death. They pray for the victim's family, the victim's survivors. They pray for the attorneys who have worked on the case. They pray for the jurors who serve on the jury. You know, they pray for the corrections officers who are, you know, whose job it is to carry this out in the name of the people of Texas. You know, there are so many people involved. You know, they pray for the witnesses, and, you know, there are people inside that chamber and, you know, watching this happen, some of them doing it, you know, as their job as journalists. So a lot of people, you know, impacted in one way or another by an execution. So I think it's really important to, you know, for us to acknowledge that they're happening and to, you know, be mindful of all the people who are involved in this act.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call to one of the clients. I see a number. I'm going to call the last four numbers. 5948. Are you there?
This is Kristen. I'm 5948. Sorry.
I know it. All right. You want to make sure. 8724. Are you there? Well, I noticed much. One thing.
Hey, Pastor. This is, yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
This is Valerie.
Can we talk?
Yes, we can talk. We can talk.
Let's do it.
I have to say that for the death penalty for me is because I had a relative, my nephew, was on death row. And although he was one of those who changed his life around, when he went in, he was angry. He committed a crime that he didn't deny that he committed, but it wasn't something that he planned to do. But he found himself in a wrong place at the wrong time, and he had remorse and he had regret. And he was one of the ones who lawyers basically went to sleep on him and didn't really fight for him. And I had the honor and privilege of meeting Kristen, and she came to Houston, and we met, and we talked, and I know that she's passionate about what she's doing, and she talked to me about how we all need to be involved because it's just inhumane. It doesn't mean that the person who's guilty isn't guilty, but what gives us a right to take a life?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is the giver of life. And if you look at the statistics of one person, say for instance, my nephew killed one person, but you have someone sitting in office that signs a note that kills multiple people, who's the biggest murderer? Who's the one that takes the most life? And the death penalty is inhuman. And you know, I have the privilege of still going to Pulaski and talking to inmates who really are good people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are innocent and some of them are guilty. But the thing about it is that when they find themselves in this dark place, a lot of them do change. And they don't want to die. They want to live beyond those bars, and they want to be productive citizens in a community. And so, you know, our nation, our country was built on the foundation and the principles of God. We can pick up a dollar sign, and on that dollar is written, "In God we trust." But are we really trusting God? Because
mm-hmm.
he's the giver of life. And he's the one who should be the ultimate choice. But I do understand that we live in a society, that we live in a system that's not prone to live out the true color and the meaning of what we stand for.
Yes.
And so we have to get out of the seat of fear and begin to speak out truth. Doesn't mean we have to be violent. We just have to be vocal. And it's important now more than ever that we get out and vote, that we research the people who we're voting for, and we vote for men and women who have a moral fortitude about themselves, that believe in life, that believe in liberty, that believe in justice. And so in order for the system to change, we have to come together. We have to invite, I should say, we have to educate and inform people of what is really going on, because otherwise we're just asleep. And until you find yourself in that situation with mothers and siblings and people, it's not just that when a political person makes a choice to execute a man, they're not only taking something away from the man, they're taking something away and a woman who's on death row. They're taking away something from their parents and their siblings and their children. they're destroying not just one person, they're destroying families. And I don't think that they have a moral compass of the devastation that what they're doing is actually how it is hurting people. But then they say that they're justice for all. But it's not. And it's not that we would come against a person, but we're coming against a system. Those who are against the death penalty are coming against the system of death penalty and saying, we need to be merciful. We need to have compassion on others, especially when the victim's family don't even want the death penalty. We do injustice to them as well when we don't even hear the voice of those who've been victimized. If a victim can forgive, who are we to say that we shouldn't? Who decides that killing a man or a woman is justice? We have to let our voices be heard. And not only that, institutions or organizations like the National Coalition Against the Death Penalty, we need to support them, not just with words. It takes money to do what Kristen is doing. They're a nonprofit organization, and so they need funding. So there's many ways that we can help. By contribution. And more than ever, when she calls to say, we need to sign a petition, we need to write the governor, we need to do that. It doesn't cost us anything to write a letter. It doesn't cost us anything to sign a petition. But when we do that, we're letting our voices be heard. And we need to support them in prayer too. Just like they're holding visuals for these families, we need to hold visuals for them.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sisters. Go ahead. Tell it all. Don't stop. Go ahead. I know you got a lot to say. Go ahead and say it.
Pretty much it. Because, you know, even those that are behind prison walls, they have vision and they have hope for another generation. For children, for those who are coming up behind them, especially those who take ownership of what they've done. They've had a repentant heart. Their lives have been transformed, and the things that they've come into, the knowledge, they are self-taught, self-educated, and at least we can do is be human. I was thinking earlier, you know, when you were asking Kristen the questions about my visits into the Polunsky unit.
Yeah.
Now, they do have some guards that are there. They treat these men inhuman. But not all of them are like that. There are some guards who are truly compassionate. And that when these men, especially those who have transformed their lives, are executed, they hurt just like we hurt. They have families as well. They have children as well. And I guess because of their position and because they work for the state, maybe they don't feel at liberty to lend their voice.
Now that's
everybody's not locked. And we have to understand that every officer isn't bad, but it's not the people that are. Like I said, it's the system. The laws need to change. A mother should be able to, even if they go, if a man or a woman goes to the chamber at Huntsville here in Texas, if they go behind that door to be executed. What harm would it be to show a little compassion and let a mother hug their son right before they die or touch their son right before he dies. We do that to animals. We comfort them. What is the harm in a touch? I don't understand it. I mean, you lock them up, and they can only be spoken to through a glass window. They come out, a person, a loved one, sometime in shackles, and then we don't even give them a last rite. We tell them they can have their last meal, but they can't have a last touch. What kind of compassion is that? How inhuman is that? And then the conditions behind those walls that we don't even get to, most of us don't even get to know unless you're really talking to those inmates, where they're fighting for justice. They're fighting just to be treated as human. Remember on Sunday, when this young man who had been incarcerated for 27 years saying that he was on lockdown and they just threw food at him like he was a dog. Prison is just another form of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a multi-billion industry.
Can I stop you right there and ask a question?
Sure.
Can I ask all right. Well, I'll put down your money. If we give the people who work behind in the prison, they need to get some money moved up, because as I understand, most of that money does not come back to the state of Texas. But who does it go to? Does it go to the politicians or what? What does it go to? That's the question I have in my thoughts. Because we need to raise the money up to the people. Give them some more dignity also, so they can see what's going on the inside to the outside. Did that make sense?
Kristen, you got an answer for that?
So your question was where's the money going in terms of like private prisons or I'm not sure or something else.
I mean, see, we've got a lot of people work behind the bars, and they're guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I know their money's low, and they're not doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a person that works in the system, so they need money they need a raise in what they do. Their lifestyle needs to be raised. Perhaps they can have a little more compassion. Now, we know that everybody knows a lot of compassion. But my question is, how can we get the governor that we hope to elect to the new position to get some money into the prison? But again, is it politically oriented or what?
Yes, you're absolutely right, that corrections officers are generally underpaid, undertrained, they're often not enough of them, right? So they have the ratio of a guard to the incarcerated individuals is very high, and the conditions for their jobs are very, very difficult. These positions then don't always attract sort of the cream of the crop. And, we've also just seen the way that both the government and some private industries, make all these promises to a community saying, we're going to build a prison in your county and we're going to provide you with jobs. And, this is not really a great economic solution. The money for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice is budgeted by the state legislature. And so when they're in session, which is every other year, they are they're hearing from all the different state agencies, which have to request the funds. And so that sort of, goes back to just the importance also of knowing who your elected officials in the legislature are, because they make these very important decisions about how our state's spending money. And, Texas spends a lot of money on its system of incarceration, and yet, you know, we know that there are still some major gaps and some major deficits, and that they're going to have to spend more if they want to attract individuals who I think may, you know, may bring a different perspective and different experience to their service as corrections officers. It's not just like any, you know, anyone they can get in the position.
Yeah. Well, Chris,
but you know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. You got the information. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, I mean, I think going to what Valerie is talking about, you know, there are a lot of corrections officers who are compassionate and, you know, for whom like being part of this system or this process has taken a real toll on them. You know, we know of former corrections officers who, you know, were part of the, what they call the strap down team, you know, who were there in the execution chamber, you know, week after week, you know, especially when Texas was carrying out, you know, dozens of executions every year. The people that were in that execution chamber, you know, a lot of them have had, or not, you know, have had like some serious depression after they left their jobs. You know, we know there are former wardens in other parts of the country who participated in executions, and they are deeply, deeply troubled by, you know, what they did. And so, you know, we know that this system, you know, doesn't leave anyone untouched. Sometimes it takes a while for them to kind of confront those demons, but, you know, it is very, it can be very, very troubling for the people mm-hmm. Whose job it is to participate in the taking of a human life. You know, it's such a just horrific act that we're taking a, you know, living, breathing, you know, fully viable, functioning human being, you know, strapping mm-hmm. them down and injecting them with a lethal drug. And I think that can mm-hmm. be very difficult for the people whose job it is to participate in. And, you know, a lot of them don't want to have any part in it. And some of them have, you know, suffered, I think, from, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder and, you know, remain deeply troubled by what they witnessed and what they participated in, what they got paid to do by the state, which was, you know, which was participating in killing someone.
Well, let me question. I got two more questions. All right. So if we get a petition to send to each one of the representatives of the state of Texas about an increase for those officers and get the petition signed, how many signatures do we need to get it signed and sent to each one of those representatives? I know I get mine 497. She'll support it. How do I do that?
What's most important is for your legislator to hear from you. Like, they are most interested in hearing what their constituents think about issues. So the person who represents you on the state House of Representatives and the state Senate, you know, sometimes it doesn't take even that many people, you know, it's because they don't really hear from their voters. They don't hear from constituents on that many issues. But yeah, if you got a group of people to meet with your legislator about this issue, then that already is going to have an impact, you know, no matter how many people it is.
Well, we don't want to put all the work on you, because we're gonna support you. But the one thing I need for you to help me to do, I have the tools of technology to make it move. If you can help us, if you get it, tell someone how to get that. Who do we get an attorney? Who do we get that petition together, so we can send it ahead of time, so when they get back in office, they can see. I know that people need more money to be in that system, need to be better educated. But at the same time, mm-hmm. if I've committed a murder and I'm guilty of it and I made my restitution, I don't think I want to die, even though I made a mistake. I'm asking for some mercy from the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the information that was given to me by Valerie, the other lady, I was shocked. I went in much, much more prayer. Just today, I said, Lord, We are just doing this people wrong. Nobody knows about it. But you have to bring it abreast to the people that are listening. And I'm trying to, I put it on Facebook. I'm doing my blog talk radio. I am concerned. I don't know. I have grandsons. I'm thinking about them. A lot of things are going on, but if I can do anything I can, please inform me because I'm a team player. You're on the team.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. We are so grateful for your support and for, you know, using your platform to help us spread the word and talk about these issues.
Well, let me ask you this. How often would you like to come on? That's up to you. How often would you like to come on? And what time would you like to come on? I'll make it available to you and what you're doing.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much. I'll definitely take you up on that.
Okay.
Especially as we get more into the next time, you know, we're working on a case or as we get into the legislative session in 2019, you know, we'd love to come back on and talk about what we're doing and what's going on with our government.
Amen. Because I know what that she was saying, and I see a phone number. I'm gonna call your last four, 0200. Are you there? Hello, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord. It's Princess Love. I'm here. I was listening, and I'm just so touched and so. I can't even describe it how I am. The lady that's being the host is great, but the lady that just got off, she did the whole thing. She was so great. And it just really vexes our spirit so bad that we live in such a wretched society now. But it's, of course, nothing new. I mean, the Roman gallows, the Roman arena was just as bad. So, I mean, it's it seems like it's bad these days. I'm very familiar with the prison system, and I am very familiar with the new birth and the regeneration of God and the changing of the guard of when you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, that if God himself has forgiven a person and you still have to pay the consequences for your sins, I understand. But a lot of these people, there are, believe it or not, out of every 100 people that's in prison, there is at least 2 to 3 that are innocent of the crime. It's just the system is so corrupt. But then must remember Matthew chapter 4, the pinnacle that he offered Jesus Christ for his exchange. This is Satan's world. And Satan is the prince of the air and the god of this world. God created it, but he cast Satan down to it, and he's been ruling it for hundreds of thousands of years, according to some scientists. However, it is very inhumane. It is very inhumane. It's even worse now that the police are shooting the people with their arms raised and then shooting them in the back and then getting no. Recently, we have gotten a few convictions for that. But look how many years it took, how many lives it took. A person's life means nothing. But my cry is to the evangelicals, to those who say they love God. Get some justice in your souls and in your hearts. And don't go along to get along with evil on every corner and every high place. That's where my cry is. Because mm-hmm. if we could get it right at the top, it could work its way down. We know evil men and seducers is going to wax worse and worse, and that evil is going to be here until Jesus comes. We know this. But let me tell y'all one good thing. That woman that killed that Bush did not pardon. That had killed the people in their bed when she was on a drunken high, and she had got saved and was doing great works for the Lord. While what was her name? Tammy Faye mm-hmm. Tucker. I was so hurt that they couldn't extend her life, but. She was ready. She was ready, and I truly understand her. But, you know, Bush said he was a Christian, and I believe he is a Christian, but I could not understand him not for him just letting her live out her life just in prison. Yes, she did a cruel drug, and yet we say drugs is a sickness, and we're willing to. I mean, she slaughtered them people, and she didn't never deny that. That it was horrible, horrible, horrible. But then in the prison system, the guards do just as many horrible things to the people. Then in the political system, these people do just as horrible things and get away with it. In the so, you know, we can just go on and on. I am very much, I used to be for the death penalty, but no. Long as there's total injustice in this country, there should not be a death penalty. And then when you think about it, mass murderers can make a plea and don't get death. But a person who has killed one person or two people, they get, and all on false, sometimes false testimony. Or lies. They get the death penalty. Yet the person who it was a guy here back in the 80s who raped and murdered his next door neighbor and 14 other people. He didn't get the death penalty. He made a plea. I mean, what kind of justice is that? Then you got rapists who rape babies and infants and small children, and they do 5 years. What kind of, and y'all say America is great? You tell me America has always been great? Oh, God, I want to know when. When was it great? They brought my forefathers over here on ships, chained to the bottom of ships. 100 million of us died in them ships. Tell me, when was America great?
Well, let me ask this question to you. Since we are moving forward with the question that's before us as a body of Christ, we've heard Christians tell us what needs to be done. And because we know Paul was in prison, prayers were not for him. So, continuation of prayers. So, do you have an idea from your standpoint? Do you know anybody that you know? Well, let me stay back quick while it's on my mind. I meet a lot of guys been in prison. I tell them, you don't want to go back to prison. I got one guy, a good friend of mine, he's just going back and back and back to prison. So I told him one day they're going to lock the key up and they're going to lose it. So he's going to be in there for the rest of your life. About that Christian, was I telling the right thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I go back to the question that I was asking this young lady of Royal. One thing that I find in America, particularly in Texas, we live in a state that's not a red state. We're just in a state of Texas that's why people just don't want to vote. We have to shake them up, mm-hmm. out and get them out there. I mean, because mm-hmm. if you don't vote, you can't argue. You can't got nothing to argue about. And I know that all mm-hmm. of us don't want to vote. We've got to encourage somebody to go vote. Not tell everybody, mm-hmm. but you know, they're going to do what they want to do. Don't take that attitude. You can make a change. That's why the viability mm-hmm. of voting is so, in, it's so important. And one more thing I want to ask with the petition that you say each year, I do want to be a part of, but I want to know, when you and I get together, because I can help, I want to help. My heart, when I'm a man, what happened to my son, my grandson, if they have to go? Some things I see going on. My son is down there in Tennessee. My wife and I, we pray for our grandson every day, every hour. Watch over him, because we don't know what's going to happen. Things can happen just like that. But it's prayers that make a difference. Now, I know when I heard the testimony of what is happening now, that young man, and some other young men were supposed to come on tonight, but I know everybody got a busy schedule. But I have to do what God told me to do. I'm going to do it. One of the things I will say, I'm going to have you back on here. We've got about 15 more minutes. And I want to let everybody know, I'm going to put it on Facebook every day, and I'm going to put her name back on there, and I want her back on here, and we got to get some moving. See, a rock does not move to stand still. But when it's moved, it makes something happen. A big rock is a dangerous thing. Can we be the rock? Can we be the rock? Can we be the rock? Yes, we can.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I mean, we absolutely can be the rock. You know, we have 20 states in this country now that don't have the death penalty, and you know, we can unite and, you know, come together as people and just say, you know, say not in my name. We are not going to keep this death penalty in my name. We're not going to keep a system that is so arbitrary. It's so unfair. You know, it convicts innocent people. You know, we know that we've executed innocent people in this state. We know that we've incarcerated people for decades, stolen decades of their lives from them for crimes they didn't commit. So, you know, it really is long past time for us to get rid of the death penalty and to focus on, you know, reforming our criminal justice system from top to bottom. And we can do that together, but we need people to be engaged. We need people to become informed and to become engaged and to use their voice to vote, to share stories with their friends and family and neighbors and, you know, everyone and people they know and come into contact with, and to, you know, express their concerns to their elected officials, because these people are accountable to us. We put them in office, and, you know, they have to listen to what we have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, by me also being a man of God and a preacher and an apostle and a pastor, my heart goes out. Every young person, been there. I got a nephew right now. I'm trying to tell him, don't run from the law. Go down and find out what it is so we can help you out. I mean, I got this right now. I said, well, let me tell you something, young man. If they have a warrant for your arrest, you can be assured they're going to set you up, do one or two things, take you out or take you in. They will prefer to take you out so they can be exposed. Do not do this. I keep trying to tell him, don't do it. Well, let me help you turn yourself in. He don't want to do that. I keep trying to tell him. But sometimes we got some young people don't want to hear nothing. That's what gets my heart. They want to do what they want to do. One thing I will say, being a black man, a black man, we need to take charge of the ship and make sure the women are not all put down, put away. Women of all colors. It's time for us to take lead somewhere to help somebody. One thing I will say, in my life, I want to be able to not only be able to serve the United States military, because I know when I was in service, we had a motto. In other words, you kill or be killed. So the devil does not love me or you. So we have to fight him back with the word of God. But we need somebody out there praying for a Christian, what she's doing, that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon her, protect her, make for sure we make somebody, we can send some money, no more than $2, $3. Let me tell you something about $2, $3. It's a great help what she's doing. Now, I know, and I've seen it, I've watched her in the spirit, in her heart, her desire is to make sure. A lot of people say, well, I don't know, but all that she do. I was a lady I helped to get out of prison, son or two, Dr. Brenda, Dr. Brenda, her name will come to me. Anyway, I helped her. I said, look, do not give up on God. We pray. Now, her son was going to get 40 or 50 years in prison. But I told her, I said, one thing we're going to do, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust God. I mean, and when we got to the last and final thing, the judge said, I had him. I don't know what happened. But I'm going to say this much. It comes to a point in life when the woman that broke forth that seed out of her womb knows how to talk to God. And guess what? That young man is free right now. He's free. Why is he free? He's out doing some positive things. He's got his attitude better. And that's what I'm all, that's what I'm all about. Money don't move me. I move money. God is good. He's my word. He's my everlasting word. And so I'm going to go from the Facebook, YouTube. I'm going to do all I can to help what she's doing. And there's a group that's leaving to Austin to go up there for something. I blessed them the other day with some money. Kept them on the trip they're going up there. You know what I'm talking about, a Christian?
Okay, what group are you talking about?
The lady, she was there also. She was talking about, she being there. She's Hispanic, Espanol. And she was talking about what she do also.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for supporting.
Amen. But anybody else got anything they want to say to a Christian? Hulu. Anybody else? Are you there?
Yes, I'd like to thank Christian for her her beautiful message. I was also there on Sunday. And also Miss Baller, and just a whole beautiful celebration of Chris's life. And like you, Dr. Hunt, and everybody, as we were saying, we have to remember to pray. We can vote and we can try to do all these different things, but if we don't first get down on our knees and pray and put God first and put it in his hands to turn the hearts of these officials and the hearts of the people who are, you know, just everybody. Because not only are, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
On the phone. Sorry. Not only are the deaths occurring in the prisons and because of things, there are deaths that people are experiencing right out here in the world in families, you know,
mm-hmm.
in neighborhoods. And if we don't attack with the prayer of the faithful on every level, then while this one is looking to the right, then something's going to be happening on the left. You know, we have mm-hmm. to just cover all our bases, and we have to be steadfast and not, you know, not give up on praying. It has to be perpetual prayer. So I want to lift that up along with all that has been said. And again, thank you for the beautiful call. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Christian?
Yes, thank you. I just want to express my gratitude to all of you for your interest in the issue and your support and your prayers. You know, we really wouldn't be anywhere as an organization or as a movement without the participation of people of faith and religious leaders. It really has such a tremendous impact on our ability to spread the word about the flaws and failures of the death penalty and why we need to get rid of it. And so I really appreciate this opportunity to be with you this evening, and I look forward to many more conversations to come.
Okay, well, one thing I want to do, Valerie, are you there? Let's have Valerie close us out with prayer on this line, on this time on KSK Radio. Are you there, Valerie?
Yes, I'm here.
Here. Close us out with prayer.
Okay. Gracious Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we're able to come and reason together, Lord God, and come on together in one accord, Lord God, and talk about the issues, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you're giving us new, fresh hope, Lord God, and that you're giving us direction and wisdom, Lord. Father, I thank you for the woman of God, Lord, who you have placed in a vital position, Lord God, to move in behalf of humanity, Lord God, and move in your loving kindness, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the shackles be broken off of men and women's minds, Lord God, that we will be a nation of love. We will be a nation, Lord God, of forgiveness and mercy, Lord God. And we will be a state, Lord God, of second chances, Lord. So, Father, I pray by your Spirit that you move upon the hearts and minds of people, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you will send forth your angels, Lord God, to get a hold of our young people, Lord God, that raise up a generation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, who will serve you, Lord God, and who will fight, Lord God, for righteousness and for that which is holy. I heard Pastor Love say, Prophetess Love, Princess Love say that there's a power, a principality that's the ruler of the air, Lord God, that's the ruler of this earth. But God, we bring him down, Lord God. We cast him down in the name of Jesus, because when he descended, he took the key to death, hell, and the grave, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that your soldiers, that your ambassadors in the earth will rise up as one, Lord God, and move and operate as one and take our authority and take back our inheritance, because you said that the earth belongs to us. And Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord God, for this conversation. And I thank you, Lord God, that it is the beginning of many conversations and a movement, Lord God, by your Spirit. That, Father, we will trust in you, Lord. That we will exalt the name of Jesus. Because you said that if you are exalted, that you will draw all men unto you. And there is nothing too difficult for you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom of God is on the move. And I thank you, Lord God, for being in the midst of us on tonight. Father, I thank you for Pastor Hunter, Lord God, who's burning a vision, that you're burning a vision within his heart. May we all come together as one and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. I bless everyone of every intercessor on this line, every warrior on this line, in the name of Jesus. Keep them, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God. Protect us, Lord God, as we move forward in you, the author and the finisher of our faith. I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I had a word I always say. I love you, and I love you. Ain't nothing to do about it. For the next time, God bless y'all.
God bless you all. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you so much. Good night.